It's time to step inside the Iketagon with your host, Ike Feldman.
What's up, everybody? Your boy, Ike Feldman from Iketagon.com at I-K-E-T-A-G-O-N. Everything. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn. Yeah, that's just about everything. You can find Iketagon content. Also, if you're into betting, NBC Sports Edge, I'm producing betting content for them on the regular, articles and now video content. I had the privilege and honor to interview some UFC champions, Alexander Volkanovski, Aljamain Sterling. I'm sure you heard of them. UFC 273 winners. But this week on the Iketagon episode, very lucky, gracious to be joined by the awesome longtime martial artist, coach for USA Sambo, author, MMA Unchained for the Champion's Mind, owner, MPR MMA, longtime martial artist, but overall cool dude, guy, man, Eric Purcell at the Eric Purcell on Twitter, at Eric underscore Purcell on Instagram. Eric, as I said, is a coach for USA Sambo this weekend in Arlington, Texas. It's the U.S. Nationals for Combat Sambo and Sambo. Woo! One of my favorite sports, martial arts sports. You guys got to check it out. I believe it is going to overtake jiu-jitsu as the most important discipline in MMA. I believe that. Check it out. Google it. It's on YouTube. Fedor, Khabib, Pat Sabatini. Speaking of Pat, he is climbing the featherweight ranks of the UFC. Four straight wins in the UFC. On a tear, killing it. Another dominant performance about 2 or 3 weeks ago at the Apex. He's coached by Eric. So Eric's doing a lot. He's also coaching the youth program out in MPR just outside of Philly. So if you want to grab a cheesesteak and then get your ass kicked, visit Eric and company at their wonderful facility, MPR MMA. All right, enough of me. Here's Eric.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday. You got
What's up, everybody? Boy, Ike Feldman from the Iketagon, being joined by my brother-in-arms, one of the coolest cats in the mixed martial arts community, not only for wrestling, for competing himself, for combat sambo. This man is an author, MMA Unchained, for the Champion's Mind. Pick up your copy on the Apple Digital Store. I believe there's a hard copy. I'm the new age. I have the digital copy. Is a USA head coach for the Sambo team. They kick off this weekend in Arlington, Texas. He just flew back from Vegas after cornering one of the most dominant on the prowl, coming for the top featherweights in the UFC by the name of Pat Sabatini. I want to call him the Black Sabatini. We'll work on the nicknames. But I'm nice. Joined by the dude, the man, at the Eric Purcell on Twitter and at Eric underscore Purcell on Instagram. Eric, what's up, brother? I saw you in the corner of the UFC Apex broadcast when Pat was dominating his opponent. You had a little cut on your eye. You're telling me it's from a shakeout. What the hell type of warm-ups are you guys doing out there?
Fast and furious. So Pat and I, we've been doing these kind of workouts, shakeouts for about 10 years. We've never had a mix-up where any of us took any damage. And then Saturday morning, we were doing the shakeout. So he'd already made weight on Friday, and now we're in Vegas and getting ready for the UFC. It might have been 51. I think it was UFC Vegas 51. But So we're doing our morning workout and just, you know, getting his body going, getting him flowing, and he's feeling like $1 million. He's super fast, super explosive. And What the UFC does when you fight in Vegas is they put you up in the, they have a Marriott, which they rent out just for the fighters. So it's an entire Marriott resort that is closed off to everybody except for the fighters.
Nice.
So Pat and I, we stay in a room together. Pat's other coaches stay in a room together. And then they give us, each fighter gets their own room there, the hotel room for a workout room. So there's a sauna in there and there's a like an 8x8 mat. So it's not a lot of space when you're moving around with someone that's like fired out of a fucking rocket like Pat, you know? So we're moving around and you know, we're like, all right, Pat, stay up on your fakes and your feints. And he's just moving and he throws a fake knee and comes with a lead hook. And I just totally bit on the knee and bam, he connected. And, you know, it was a hard, clean shot. And then instantly, though, I was just leaking blood everywhere. So he cut me in two spots. I have a giant cut on my eyebrow right now that probably could have used some stitches. And then I also got cut under here as well, had a big black eye. And,
oh my goodness.
So immediately he's like, oh man, I'm so sorry. And my only concern was, I was like, shit, I'm gonna have to warm him back up in like another few hours when we end up at the UFC, the Apex. So so I was doing my best to close it up. Of course, I have nothing with me because the UFC provides everything and Cutman. I have no Vaseline. I've got no Band-Aids, nothing like that. And so we get to the performance center and I asked the people at the UFC, I'm like, hey, do you guys have any more like butterfly bandages or anything like that? They're like, no, but we could probably be stitched up right now because they have a doctor there. So when they're pulling people out of fights, they go right into a room and they stitch them up. But we didn't even have enough time to do that. So, so I had this giant, you know, Band-Aid just keeping my eye held together. So I wasn't leaking all over the place before the fight started. But, a lot of people hitting me up. My inbox was definitely pretty full of people like, who beat your ass? Well, you know, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, who kicked your ass? My ass is so kicked from this whole, like, fight camp and everything. I'm a mess. I'm just beat up. But
yeah, I see the great content again at Eric_Purcell on Instagram. I was just taking it as it was just another day in the office. Maybe this was during the fight week. I didn't know it was day of, man. I really appreciate you. You're in the mix, man. You're in the trenches with your fighters. Is it kind of that? How do you keep the body pumping on all cylinders? Are you eating well? Are you more cleaned up from your earlier days of competing? I remember the first time we talked, you mentioned training in the 90s, discovered Sambo, I think in 99 or 2000, early 2000s. Like, you've been at it for a couple of decades, man. How do you keep the body pumping at its peak efficiency?
I stay fit, you know. So obviously I'm training a lot with these guys. I do take a lot of punishment when we have a lot of guys, especially in training camps. This past month was pretty rough because we had Pat getting ready to fight. Then I had a few other guys fighting as well. So I do what we call coach sparring. So I move around with them and I give them looks like their opponent is going to give them. So we study their opponents and I try to mimic them. And basically I'm a walking punching bag to them essentially. So it gets tough, but I work out a lot. I make sure that I don't kill myself in the gym. I do more of like maintenance work, you know, in the gym. So I'm not in your strength training, but I'm doing things just to keep my neck strong, keep my shoulders, my legs strong, and keep my endurance up. So that way I can hang with these guys and be controlled as possible. That way I don't hurt them and hopefully they don't hurt me as well. So when your cardio sucks, you know, you lose the control later in rounds. And I'll have some days where I'll do 10 to 15 rounds, 5-minute rounds, and you're moving around with these guys, you know. So I've got to definitely keep it together. And but I'm getting old, you know, so certain days are rough, you know, but it's part of the game, you know.
Never complaining, man. You are a tough son of a gun. No offense to Javier Mendez or Ray Longo. They're obviously just wizards when it comes to the striking game and open up their fighter's head and just filling it with knowledge. But fighter coaches who are also like physically on the mats. Like, again, no offense to Danahar. He sounds like James Bond, but from what I hear, he can't physically do all the moves that he's maybe verbalizing. You and Mike Brown, man, look what Mike Brown did in ATT. You know, you see him moving around Masvidal with Joanna, with Amanda Nunes. I feel it's going to be the same for you. I feel it's almost kind of like tenfold, the double time in the next 5 years. What you could accomplish, what you're going to do with your fighters over 15 years, because you're literally on the mats. My apologies if I overlooked it, but I think you're going to have a future world champion in the very, very near future.
I hope so. And it does give you a very interesting perspective when you're moving around with them. You can see what fakes they're biting on. You can really get a feel for their pressure, their strength, things that you can't necessarily always get a feel for when you're observing. But you know, all of us coaches, eventually we end up on that observation deck, you know, eventually the body can only, you know, stay fresh for so long. So I'm going to just milk it while I can. And eventually when I can't do it anymore, just roll me under the mats and, you know, bury me there and just keep classes going. But it does allow me to, I like to train every fighter a little differently as well. I like to really know what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are. And of course we want to eliminate weaknesses as much as possible, but we can really take their strengths and expand on those as well when you can get in and move with somebody and give them different looks and things like that. So it is a valuable tool that we use, especially with like someone like Pat Sabatini as well.
And this was supposed to be an in-person interview. It's very unfortunate that I couldn't be there. The beautiful facility, the NPR MMA facility, would have loved to visit and do this interview. I just got on the mats, back on the Sarah Longa mats in January. My neck is sore, man. I saw you post something on Twitter with the neck brace. If I was to come down to Philly, man, I would definitely have to use it, because you guys are no joke and you're rolling in your training classes. What the hell was that? And like, is there any besides that, is there any like things I could do on the mat, like neck rolls or anything to strengthen my neck?
There are a lot of ways you can strengthen your neck. They have these like total neck trainers. Back in the day, we just used to use a harness you'd put on your head. Boxers would use them. You know, you attach a weight to the harness.
Animal lips looking thing.
Yeah. Those we would, in wrestling, we do a lot of bridging on our necks and things like that. But so I have bulging discs in my neck. So between my C4, C5, C6, C7. So that's just a traction device that you just start to turn the wheels, and it just elongates your neck and takes the pressure off your disc that are already being a little impacted. So for example, I get a tingling and numbness in my left hand. And that's directly because of your C4, C5, C6, C7. So luckily with the traction device, I can start to elongate my neck and take some of the pressure off my disc. And it really does help with the numbness and the tingling. So these are just part of the game, things that I do throughout the week, just to make sure that I can move my neck.
I took off a while and then I hopped back in. I've lost like 17-18 pounds already, and it was just training. Then I'm like, my neck. And I was like, holy moly, I gotta pay attention to it. I do appreciate it. But again, we're being joined by Eric Purcell. Well, one more thing with Pat. He's a very just a calm temperament, very calm mannerisms and gestures, but obviously he's just a dominant force, like the Phillies version of Khabib, just that blanket on his opponent, very calm. Maybe his opponent thought he's like, all right, I got Pat down in the first round, this is it. Pat, as DC described, Daniel Cormier described, was just calm, cool, waiting for the tree to fall, and just swarmed him like a wet blanket. Beautiful approach, four straight wins in the UFC, maybe six or seven overall consecutive wins. The dude is on fire, man. Can you just give us a little more insight to Pat's growth from the time you first met him up until now? He's being chirped about as an elite featherweight in the UFC, man.
Pat has always had elite grappling. Back in the day, he was a Pan Am Jiu-Jitsu champion. Wow. As a brown belt, he had, I believe, beaten Gianni Grippo in the Pan Ams. He was one of the best grapplers in the world. He took Gordon Ryan, I believe, 6 or 7 minutes back in the day.
What?
Oh. Yeah. That was fun. They had an excellent match before Gordon Ryan eventually got him in a heel hook. But, you know, obviously Pat was giving up some weight in that. Pat's a beast. He was a D1 wrestler. Obviously, he's got a lot of accolades in combat sambo as well. He's competed in sambo around the world. And so his wrestling, his grappling has always been top notch. Obviously, throughout the years, we keep refining it for MMA as well. And we have some systems that we work on. And you know, as far as when he's in certain positions, direct go-tos to get to. But his leg sweeps and things like that are elite. I think he's got the best foot sweeps and things like that along the cage and the entire league. And these are things that he spent years developing, primarily from sambo. With all the foot trips and sweeps and foot props and things like that. So it's just been a blast over the years to see him go from a guy that was kind of jiu-jitsu and wrestling to see him blend in all the sambo aspects with the jiu-jitsu and wrestling and really form this style that is just nearly impossible to deal with. And in addition to that, people don't realize how explosive and how strong the guy is. The guy is just constantly working. You have to kick him out of the gym type of dude. And people neglect, or they take, you know, they take his strength for granted. They don't really believe how could a 145 pounder be as strong as he is. He's an absolute monster when he gets on top of you or even underneath of you. Good luck.
I know, man. He's got like similar back muscles to when I saw Islam Makhachev squeeze Drew Dober. There's a roadmap on Pat's back. I was like, my goodness, what the hell? God bless Eric's lungs, I guess, when he gets in the body lock or something. But Garen being joined by USA Sambo coach at Eric_Purcell, mixed martial artist, longtime mixed martial artist, man, author MMA Unchained for the Champion's Mind. You are a modest mofo, man. After a previous conversation, of course, I had to do the deep dive. I was like, who's this guy with the tattoos, slick hair, amazing facility, and kicking ass? He's building a ranch. He's America's dad. You cut him, he bleeds. Red, white, and blue. I almost said USA. I wear my colors. But, man, you was it 2016 in Ireland or in the UK? You competed yourself in combat sambo. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, I forget what year we fought in Scotland, but So we fought in Scotland at the President's Cup. It was, we actually won the President's Cup that year. And there was four USA athletes. It was a special tournament that they ran in combat sambo, and it was pretty cool. So we all four guys were from our gym. Pat was one of them. Pat actually got the most decorated athlete of the entire tournament, which was pretty cool. He got some special awards. We took 2 gold, 2 bronze. And I guess my last competition, I competed at the Pan American Championships for Combat Sambo in the Dominican Republic. That was right before COVID. Wow. And I did pretty well there. I ended up taking silver.
Nice. Really well.
Yeah, thank you. I was a little disappointed. I kind of shit the bed in the finals. I didn't give up a point at all in the entire tournament until the finals. But it is what it is.
Wow. You know? Almost pulled the Dan Gable, almost swept the competition.
It would have been nice. Yeah, I was feeling good. And I lost to Cuba in the finals, and it's what it is, you know. So. Well,
we won the war. That's all that matters. You know, you could leave Cuba with that. So, I don't know. But in the Scotland match, man, you look phenomenal. Your footwork was fast. It seemed like the guy, like, he just couldn't, like, process the amount of information you were throwing in his direction. It was a fantastic performance. Real quick, if you don't mind, could you take us over the combat sambo rule set? Because again, man, I'm a huge fan. Anytime I see a guy from Chechnya, Dagestan, Russia, Philly, who has a combat sambo background, it's like, I'm like fascinated with the sport. I really think it can do Vadim Nemkov. A bunch of guys are getting a lot more shine. I think it could be the next phase of martial arts if people continue to learn about it, especially if Khabib talks about it, makes some public appearances, who knows. But could you go over the rule set for combat sambo, please?
Absolutely. So combat sambo, similar to like wrestling or judo and things like that, there's no stalling. So one of the reasons why it transfers over so well to a sport like mixed martial arts, as compared to, I mean, another great sport for MMA is jiu-jitsu. But however, in jiu-jitsu, you can stall in positions, you can stall in guard and things like that. And where you're seeing combat sambo really shine in MMA is these guys are pressure fighters. You know, they don't stop walking you down. And they chain their striking together very well with their grappling and their cage work, which are directly tied to the pace and style of combat sambo. So in combat sambo, you can submit. Most of your submissions are all pretty legal, except for like heel hooks, things like that. You can win by points, and you can also knock somebody out. You can... there are pins. However, you don't win via pin. You just get points via pin. So it's a very fast-paced sport. So let's say, for example, you're striking. You run someone over in a double leg. Maybe you get 2 points. You're on top. As you start to punch them, then they'll get called for stalling. And then you can get it. They get a warning. Then you get a point. They do it again. You get another point. They do it again. You get 2 points. And then they're disqualified. So 4 times, and they're DQ'd. So that way, if people aren't taking excessive amounts of ground and pound on the bottom, the sport's not kind of slowed down by a guard game or anything like that. It's kind of run people over, pound them out. They restand you, run them back over, pound them out. And your submissions, you can hit at any time, knee bars and guillotines. One of my favorite aspects to combat sambo is headbutts. So we're allowed to headbutt as well.
I thought it was
so
just
the headbutt.
Lethway. I thought it was just Lethway, but combat sambo holding it down.
Yeah, so in combat sambo, it's really nice. One of the, I think, the best strikes in self-defense that is never taught anywhere is the headbutt. You know, someone grabs you and your hands are tied up. Boom, just smash them, and clean them, come over the top, whatever you want to do. So the headbutts are an integral part of combat sambo, along with your knees and elbows, everything. It's just such a dynamic sport. If we're standing and I hit you with a throw and I remain standing and you go right to your back, I automatically win. So,
wow.
Yes. So let's say that we're standing and I hit you with a cross and you fly back and fall directly to your back, I automatically win.
Wow.
If I head kick you, you know, and you fall to your back, I automatically win.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So it's pretty cool all the way around. And it is, though. It's super dynamic. It's fast paced. All of my combat sambo athletes that do both MMA and combat sambo, they'll tell you that combat sambo is more difficult than MMA.
And now staying, of course, in the sambo conversation, the U.S. Nationals this weekend in Arlington, Texas, correct?
Yep. Yeah, you got it.
How are we looking on your end with athletes? And who do we got representing the NPR team?
Well, our team, so we initially started off, we're going to be taking a lot more people. And then as we kind of got closer to camp through injuries and things like that, we slimmed it down a little bit. So we've got a couple of our young guns. We've got a guy, Antonio Fields, another guy, Eric. It's his first competitions. Hopefully they go down and do well. Zach Haynes, who is a reigning Pan American champion. He's also got some wins at the World Championships as well. Nice. He's going to be competing. He's an absolute animal. He's an all-American wrestler, just total stud beast. One of our women athletes, Fabiano, she's going to be down competing in, I believe, sport and combat. Then we've got a couple other people as well that are going down that should hopefully be making some waves and gaining some valuable experience. So should be a lot of fun. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be making the trip last minute. This is I'm not going to be able to make it down on this one. One of our other coaches, Bob Clark, he's one of the USA Sambo coaches as well. He's also a master of sport and as about as decorated and just filled with accolades as you get. Bob Clark's going to go down there and make sure the team's doing okay. And hopefully we'll get some W's and some wins and some great experience down there.
Amazing. And, like Rogan said, when you saw on like a bullet point for a fighter as they're getting the Vaseline and checked out by the ref, it says like master sport. Rogan's like, I'm not sure exactly what that means, but that's a cool accolade. And it's like, it really is, man, to be called the master sport is really cool. So,
yeah,
What's the schedule look like? You have the this weekend. Does all roads lead to the November World Championships? Is that how it works?
So, our national team, well, at Nationals, everyone will compete this weekend.
Okay.
And what we're going to basically do is take the winners of Nationals. We may also do a kind of a point system as well. Yep. So if you win Nationals, you'll have your spot for the Pan American Championships. Right now, since this is the first year that we have Combat Sambo in the national championships here in the United States, to figure out who's going to be on the USA team, I think we're going to do a combination of the winners and points and construct the best team. Eventually, over the next couple of years, it's going to be a point system of winning this tournament. And we'll take the winners and they'll win their spots onto the team. So this year, I believe, is going to be a combination of a few different factors to determine who's going to be on the Pan American team. So then we'll go to the Pan American Championships. We'll be in Costa Rica. And hopefully people will do well there, gain a lot more experience. And then from there, we've got the World Championships. However, the World Championships and international competition overseas, things are a little upside down right now because of the conflict going on in Ukraine. So we're a little unsure of what's going to happen with the World Championships right now and the World Cup for that matter. So we're just kind of wait and see. And we're going to do our best to get everyone ready and get everyone prepared through the Pan Am Championships and just see how everything starts shaking out from there. So.
Got you. One more thing, if you don't mind, Eric, the time flies with you, man. That's why it's like, if I come visit, yeah, I'm going to be following you around with the boom microphone. Everybody's going to be like, who's in your entourage? Eric Purcell at the Eric Purcell on Twitter, at Eric_Purcell on Instagram, longtime martial artist, author of MMA and Chain for the Champion's Mind, USA Sambo coach, owner, MPR, MMA, great dad. Great husband, I'm sure. You get so much to list off, man. I'm running out of room on my Google document. But my last thing, the future, the next generation, man. It's so cool that it seems that the MMA's become culturally accepted. I don't know if that's because of money McGregor era or because of it landing on ESPN or both, or just naturally the growth of the sport. To see the youth program, you've literally made this a sport, not a some TV show that some guy's angry and he's got to take his shirt off and he goes into a cage and that's how he expresses himself. So no, that's what pisses me off, how the media or some movies can present this sport, this wonderful sport. I love what you're doing, how you're chaining together just the drilling and the youth program. Just, you turned it into a sport essentially, man. And you're going to have the killers of the next generation creating this mixed martial arts army, man. How's it been working with the youth? What are the type of questions you get from the parents? And just, I don't know, man, hats off to you if I was wearing a hat, but I appreciate it. How's it been working with the youth?
The youth MMA program, it's our junior MMA program here for ages 8 to 13, is my favorite class to run. Nice. The kids are absolutely amazing. So we have, with the book that we put out, and I've also got a DVD system that's on BJJ Fanatics and Dynamic Striking right now as well. Nice. We have everything systematized, so that way we can actually teach this and educate, you know, the kids in a very safe way, but we also get the realism and the realistic aspects of the sport as well. So since everything's systematized, which I highly recommend, this is just me plugging the book, but if you're an MMA coach out there and you do check out the book, you'll instantly have a system that you can teach down to all of your adults, kids, and everybody in your school. And it makes it, we kind of categorize everything in these bite-sized pieces. It's all pretty understandable how it moves and flows. But as far as our kids go, they know more of the information. I can ask them any question out of the book or the videos. They know everything. They're amazing. There's so much fun to teach and instruct. They're excited about MMA. They're excited about learning how to really defend themselves, how to put it together. We'll take kids that come in with little to no experience. And a couple months later, I mean, they look like little animals out there on the mats. But And so it's a great balance of being able to keep everything safe, be able to keep kids having fun, and also teach them the real deal, you know, aspects of mixed martial arts. So that way, like, for example, when we just fought in Vegas with Pat, right when I get back to the gym, all the kids are running up to me. Hey, we got to watch Coach Pat's fight, and it was great what he did here and here. And they're asking me questions about the fight. And, you know, and like really technical questions that most adults wouldn't even really know to ask. And it's just it's an absolute blast. And it is easily one of my favorite classes. And it's whether these kids go on to fight one day. We do have some kids. It's their dream one day to become professional fighters. A lot of these kids at the very base level of it, they're going to understand real self-defense, you know, real self-defense out there on the streets. They know how to put together their jiu-jitsu, their wrestling, you know, their kickboxing. They understand how to fight on the cage wall. So if they were in school and someone runs them up to the wall and runs them into a wall, good luck for that kid. You know, it's going to be game on from there. So they're just, it's an absolute blast. And it was one of the best programs that we've ever put in here at the gym for sure.
Yeah. Or that kid who is supposedly running him into the wall. Maybe he trains as well. Maybe they're all friends. Maybe we're all better community. Maybe it's a better world, man. I really think that martial arts should be in the school system. I just, Rampage said this on the Brendan Schaub show. He's like, everybody needs a fight. He goes, they would just get it out of their system. They would understand. Maybe the world would be a better place. I agree, man. And Eric Purcell, you are part of the past, the present, and the future of this martial arts community. I really respect what you're doing for the martial arts community and everything you're doing, man. Everything you touch turns to gold, man. You are a talented individual in many ways, and I really appreciate the time, as always, brother.
No, hey, and thank you. And hey, props to you. I saw you had Aljamain on not too long ago, and getting some serious guests on here, man. And that's you deserve it. It's fantastic. Great podcast, and you know, you're real. You're very enthusiastic about the sport and the martial arts as well, man. And it shines through, man. So keep it up.
I appreciate that, Eric. That means a lot coming from you, man. And continued success to all your endeavors, brother.
Thanks a lot. Go Team USA this weekend. And good luck to everyone competing at the national championships. Let's kill it.
Pretty amazing. Eric does everything. Coaches, trains, and this just, it popped in my mind while we were talking. Mike Brown, one of the head coaches at American Top Team in Coconut Creek in Florida, the team that's produced so many champions. Mike Brown, a former WEC, I think he was a champion. He's on the mats. He's in his 40s. He stayed in shape. He keeps that composure. He, of course, has got the beard of wisdom. But I see a lot of similarities with Eric Purcell. He's in shape. He's competed in every facet of martial arts, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, combat sambo, MMA, competed on a big stage. And every fire or coals that he asks his fighter to walk on or walk through, he's done it. So, a lot of respect for him. He's also a former colleague in the fact that he was producing content for NBC Sports, which is pretty awesome, pretty amazing. Great job by NBC Sports to be ahead of the curve. This is 2010, I believe, Eric told me on the last time I spoke to him. So, he is a savant for many reasons, author, coach, media, martial artist, mixed media arts. Really cool dude. I can't wait to get down to the facility and see the energy in the room in person. It's going to be awesome. I will not try to drip my Philly cheesesteak onions onto the mat. That will be a no-no. I'll be immediately kicked out, but it's going to be an awesome experience and a quick trip, quick weekend trip, and going to be fun. Get some content for you guys, but that's this week's Iktagon. Hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Eric is the man. Again, follow him on Twitter at @TheEricPurcell. On Instagram, Eric_Purcell. He's also an author MMA Unchained for the champion's mind. If you're casual, just getting into the UFC viewing on MMA Twitter, buy a copy. You know, it's cool to be an educated fan. A lot of people played a little football, played a little baseball, and they fancy themselves an expert when they're watching the Yankees or the Mets or the Phillies or the Red Sox. In this case, maybe you are in your 30s or 40s, 50s, and you never jumped on a mat. You didn't have a chance to do karate or jiu-jitsu. There's still time. Not saying that you can't, but if you just want to view the sport but be an educated fan, viewer, download, buy the MMA Unchained. I have my copy. I'm a level up more than a viewer. I compete. So seeing the techniques, the strategies, and the fundamentals broken down and then pieced together for a high-level athlete like a Pat Sabatini or anybody who's just to get that edge, MMA Unchained can be that for you. So I highly suggest getting your copy today. You can get a digital copy so you can be on the subway, the train, the Amtrak, passenger in a car. I wouldn't suggest reading this while you're driving, but you can have it on your phone. It could be a book in your pocket. So enjoyed my time with Eric. I hope you guys did. Till next week. Peace.